Hey guys, welcome to the 10th episode of the Faruqi Brothers podcast at Comic Book Debate. I'm your host, as always, Shiraz Faruqi, and I'm joined by my brother, Zayan.
What's up, guys?
My cousin, Umar.
Hey, everyone.
And my other cousin, Samir.
What's up?
So today, just before we, get into the conversation, I wanted to take just a few minutes to talk about Stan Lee, who passed away this morning at 95 years old, and just wanted to kind of give our, raw takes on that. And, I'll start off myself and just say that, Stan Lee, his legacy is pretty much unmatched in this industry. And if you guys know, basically, whatever favorite Marvel character you have, there's a good chance that either Stan Lee created him or her, or co-created him or her, and definitely had an impact on the character in some way. So, for the audience who want to kind of get a refresher of kind of the characters he's worked with, he's co-created Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, the Fantastic Four, the Hulk, Daredevil, Black Panther, a good portion of the X-Men, Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man. Like, basically, you name the Marvel character, and Stan Lee has or had his hands on him. So, just opening up to the floor, what do you guys think about Stan Lee? And what are your emotions for today?
Yeah, it's definitely hard to see him go. He's done so much for this industry, and his contributions are unmatched. The characters he's created, the stories he's told, they're gonna be remembered forever.
I mean, yeah, it really is tragic, to see what happened. I know personally my favorite superhero, my favorite Marvel superhero, if not my favorite superhero of all time, is Spider-Man. And, he created him. It'll be sad not to have his imprint on, the upcoming movies.
Just to echo what you guys have said, he is obviously a legend in this part of the industry. He's done a lot, and obviously we all pray for the families or the people that he left behind, and hopefully, they're patient. It's a tough thing to go through. He'll be missed by, I think, anyone that's been in this comic book world.
I feel you there. And I think we could take a second now and kind of segue and talk about kind of our own experiences with Marvel. I know the majority of our podcasts, we've been, with DC guests and a lot of DC-heavy discussion points. But let's take a second to talk about kind of our first experiences with Marvel and with Stan Lee's work. And again, I'll start off. And I think the first experience I remember with Marvel is with Spider-Man. And like Samir said, Spider-Man is one of the most popular superheroes in the world, and for majority of kids and audiences and adults alike, he's one of their favorite superheroes. So same with me, when you're a kid and you're watching your Saturday morning cartoons, one of them is Spider-Man the Animated Series, which came on Fox at the time. So I think that was a very important part of my childhood. And actually, there's one specific episode in Spider-Man, it's actually the last episode, where Spider-Man is going through different dimensions and different parts of the multiverse. So then he ends up into a universe where there is no Spider-Man in real life. Instead, Spider-Man's a comic book character, and he gets to meet Stan Lee, and he gets to talk to Stan Lee, and obviously Stan voices himself in the episode, and it's very interesting to see that dynamic of Stan talking to Spider-Man and them having a whole conversation. So that's one of the memories that will definitely be remembered with
me. For me as well, Spider-Man's been the main kind of character in terms of Marvel. And I remember when, I don't know if you guys remember this, but when we were kids, my dad used to buy the VHS tapes because Spider-Man wouldn't be on Canadian television. So I don't know if you guys remember that, but
now you're remembering it. Now you're bringing it up. I do remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Samir, do you remember it?
I don't really remember. I think I was too young for that.
No, yeah, he was. Samir is the youngest of our family. But Samir, your favorite is Spider-Man. So what is what are your favorite memories as a kid of Spidey?
Well, you know, the Raimi's trilogy came out, you know, around the time that, like, a year after I was born, the first Spider-Man movie came out. And then, so, like, I grew up watching, like, that trilogy. So, I guess that was a big part of my childhood.
No, I feel you there, man. Are you dying? John's dying, not me.
You, I lied.
Alright, now I'm gonna.
You're like 6 years old, Spider-Man.
Alright, I'm
gonna. No, Spider-Man 1 came out when I was 1.
Oh my god. Dude, your experience with Spider-Man is so different from ours, man. Like, where was I? How old was I when Spider-Man 1 came out? 2002 it came out.
You were 8.
I was 8. So, see, I got a better experience than you. You're like 3 years old.
I watched it, like, throughout.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you.
As I got older. It was cartoons, though, wasn't it?
No,
for us it was cartoons.
Yeah, for us it was the cartoons for the three of us. But as Samir's too young for those old memories of the VHS tapes, you know. By the time Samir was born, they had DVDs.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
You know, he's a Generation Z.
Yeah, so I mean, same with me. I think Spider-Man has been my favorite Marvel character since the beginning. I mean, obviously, me and Charles, we both watched Spider-Man the anime series together. And I think one of the first memories I have of Spider-Man is actually the PS1 game for Spider-Man. And, you know, funny story is we actually didn't have a memory card for our PlayStation. So,
broke boys.
Yeah. And if you close the game, you lose all your progress. So we had to keep it on for days on end just to beat the game at once. And, I mean, it was a lot of fun just playing it, replaying it.
There was a time where we literally kept our PS1 on for days trying to beat the Spider-Man game, because the last level of that is, first of all, it's Nightmare Fuel, for those who remember. We're going back in time with this. But also, it's just a very challenging game. And obviously, now we have the PS4 Spider-Man game, which is leagues ahead. But back then, that was the ultimate superhero experience, that's that PS1 game. So let's go back to Stan Lee. And we know that these days, he's a big part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And he does very diverse cameos. And obviously, now that he passed away, there's only a couple of more times we're going to see him. From my understanding, they did tape at least 3 more cameos from Stan Lee that we haven't seen yet. So,
which ones?
So Infinity I'm guessing War. It's going to be Captain Marvel, Infinity War, and then Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So it's actually fitting that if his final cameo comes in Spider-Man Far From Home, it's going to be fitting since that Stan's favorite superhero was Spider-Man as well. So I think that would be a pretty fitting way. But do you guys remember, like, what are your favorite cameos from Stan Lee? Yeah. All right, so go for it.
Well, there's one that's obviously a lot of people are using it on Twitter. The one with, I think it was Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 1. I'm not sure. The Sam Raimi movie.
Spider-Man 3.
That was 3, yeah.
Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he says, what does he say again?
He says one man can make the difference. Like,
yeah.
That was a good one.
That's the quote that everyone is using. I think that's pretty powerful. And especially with these legends in the business of superheroes, they know that, like, they know what the kind of the underpinning of the superheroes are supposed to be.
Exactly.
Of hope and optimism and all that stuff. So yeah. That one's probably my favorite. Even though I didn't remember it properly. Yeah. Well, after that, I would have to agree with Omar that was probably my favorite cameo, you know, because that line really highlighted his own legacy. How, you know, he did so much for this comic book world.
And, you know, I know it's the cheap option to choose the same one, but I think that was the highlight. And it speaks to the Raimi trilogy because it's such a well-written story for Spider-Man. So, of course, they gave Stan a great cameo. But I think there are some other ones, you know, from the Amazing Spider-Man 1, if you remember, the one where he's...
in the library.
Yeah, he's in the library. He's, like, doing the... He's, like, a librarian cleaning the... He's organizing the books in the background. Spider-Man and the Lizard just fighting it out. I think that was pretty hilarious. I think he had one in Venom also, but I don't remember it. You know, I think he was
giving Eddie like words of advice or something.
Yeah, so I think his recent one was Venom. What was he in?
What was his thing in Homecoming? I forgot.
Homecoming. I don't remember the Homecoming one.
Infinity War, he was a bus driver. He was the bus driver.
Yeah, for Peter. War, yeah. And in Black Panther, he was one of the card players. He was one of, like, the poker players, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the gamblers. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say the rest of you guys, but I would also say Spider-Man 3. I mean, that one really hits home to the message he wanted to deliver and like the part of the stories he told that one man can make a difference.
Yep. And you know,
he had one in the PS4 Spider-Man game.
Oh, that was a really good one. I think I love the one in the video game as well.
The video game one was really good.
And he actually used to voice like all the video game intros for the old games as well. And actually, you know, I tell this story at our comic book debate workshop that we teach at schools around New York City. But one of the classes that we taught centered around Stan Lee. And in my curriculum, I made a note that to explain the origins of the X-Men, you know, and why, when the X-Men were created and why they were created, and what was Stan Lee's mindset for the X-Men. And if you remember, the X-Men were created during the Civil Rights Movement. So it's a time where there was a lot of racial tension, there was a lot of racism in this country. And obviously, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, these are all big figures. And at the time, kids weren't allowed to actually read real news and stories about Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. So they were all given like propaganda in a sense from their parents, who obviously were racist. So this happened very widespread. So the youth wasn't getting a real picture of the civil rights movement and were kind of being poisoned in their mindset. So Stan Lee and obviously Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, all the other big and important figures, they decided that, you know, we should put these themes that we're seeing in real life into our characters. And they created the X-Men literally for that purpose. So if you guys are kind of tell the parallels between Professor X, who is kind of an amalgamation of Martin Luther King, and then Magneto, a lot of his principles go closely with Malcolm X. So that's something that intentionally Stan Lee did. And the same thing when Black Panther was created, introduced in the Fantastic Four comics, it was literally a mindset of what if Africa wasn't, you know, completely pillaged by Europe, like how far would they have gotten and advanced without like European interference? And that's kind of the background of what the motivation of Black Panther was, creating a hero that truly embraces the African culture, the African roots, by creating this country that's kind of like the hub in the continent. So I think we should really give our hats off to Stan and his team for keeping an elevated sense of social awareness for the situation.
Definitely,
so
yeah.
So I want to definitely bring that story up. So just to stay in the same realm, we did get a chance to watch a good portion of Into the Spider-Verse last month. So I think, again, in honor of kind of like Stan Lee and this kind of this podcast being very much Marvel-based and, of course, Spider-Man-based, character we all love. Let's kind of give our reactions to Into the Spider-Verse, what we thought about it and what our expectations are for now that we've seen the first 35-40 minutes of the movie.
All right, so I mean, we got to watch the first 35 minutes of the film, and I mean, from the get-go, you can tell this film is something special. The animation is so good. Like, I'm surprised how good it turned out, and some of the scenes weren't even finished when they're showing it to us, but it still looked amazing. The story was great. It could possibly be the best superhero film of the year. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. It's a dark horse because it's animated. It's a dark horse to be the best. The score was good too. Like it seems like it's just different. It just seems like a different version of that world, the Spider-Man world. So the score is what I thought was really good. The way they and then the balancing between the tones where it was light and then other scenes were more serious. So I mean, if the last whatever is left of the movie, if it goes anywhere like the first 35 minutes, it's gonna be good.
I think it might be the second greatest Spider-Man movie of all time.
What's first?
Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, okay. Spider-Man 2 is hard to beat.
That's a tragic choice. I gotta give it to you.
Yeah, the thing is, I like how they finally made a Miles Morales movie, and it's long overdue.
No, and I agree. And I know, right. Samir, you're the resident music guy on the squad. So, what did you think about like the soundtrack and the curated artists that are working on it?
I mean, I love the Post Malone soundtrack.
Did you hear, Chaz?
Yes, I did hear, man. I'm not, I'm the old head, but I don't only listen to Jay-Z and Lupe Fiasco, man. Come on.
Yeah, you do actually, but
I bet I do.
Yeah, low key you do.
But but Samir, you know the latest hits, as they say. To finish off that Spider-Man theme, let's give our really express thoughts on Venom. I know it's a little late in the game, but as we can see, I think what nobody expected from Venom is that right now it's actually the 25th highest grossing comic book film of all time. So that means a huge portion of MCU films, DC films. It just passed Justice League yesterday. So it's passing all these films. And I know that we all have our thoughts on the film, so we can give our thoughts on the film itself. But even more importantly, like, how did the film get this successful with audiences?
I feel like it kind of like blew up in a sense because it was so different, you know? Like, you know, DC films have a certain way of doing things, and MCU films, obviously, they follow a certain path of the way they make their films. But this felt different. It felt like fresh. I mean, obviously, some things were pretty bad, and some other things were pretty funny. It was just like honestly, the fact that it was different, it actually kind of worked. I enjoyed the film personally.
I agree with Jan. I liked it personally. I really liked it too, personally. Honestly, the writing could have used some work, but like, the acting was really good.
I think Venom is one of those movies that's actually funny, but even unintentionally funny. Like, scenes that I think weren't meant to be funny in the movie came off as very funny. So, like Eddie Brock just knew Venom for maybe like 3-4 hours, and then when Venom said goodbye, Eddie, and sacrificed himself, it was like they tried to make a very emotional scene, but there was no development.
There was no character development.
Dude, there was another scene where Eddie was telling Venom, "Oh, why are you helping me?" So, because of you, Eddie, you know?
It's like, what?
Like, they didn't even build on that.
Because like, no build. Like you.
How are they something?
But that's, I think that's the thing. That's the problem with the film is that, or at least my problem with the film is that it just doesn't have any kind of, have any meat to it. Like, it's just very...
Yeah, it's very hollow, bare bones.
Very hollow. Like,
it's like a shell, yeah.
It's choppy. Like, it's choppy. You could tell it's...
But that's choppy. Even funnier because the funniest part is that even though it's extremely choppy, it's not well written, it's hollow, it's unintentionally funny, but for some reason...
It makes it unique, yeah.
For some reason, it still kind of works. Like, even... I remember the four of us were watching it together premiere night when it came out, and, you know, it ended with a very cliche walking away banter between Venom and Eddie. And then just cuts to black, and then the Venom soundtrack starts playing from Eminem. So I was sitting next to Umar.
Literally anyone could have made, right?
So I was sitting next to...
Like, anyone could have made that.
I'm saying, so I was sitting next to...
Even the motivation of Venom and freaking Eddie were, based on jokes. Like, I'm a loser, you're a loser, we gotta stick it together.
Yeah, it's like really weird. And, again, like, I was sitting next to Umar when the credits rolled for the first time. And I turned to him while the Eminem is blasting, you know? And I'm like, what did we just see? You know, like, or maybe we all laughed. It was like, smiled. They're like, what was this? Because you like it.
It's like a very awkward film.
Yeah. It's like you like it, but you know it's bad. You know, but you like it still, but you know it's bad. You know, the point is, how did this movie make this much money? Like, no one thought it would make this much money, you know? And just, it opened in China this weekend to $100 million. Like, people are loving Venom. Like, audiences, they're like showing up to it in droves. So, like, and no one expected that. I mean, how did a movie with just Venom beat Superman, Batman,
I'm
Wonder Woman?
You, it's because it's so weird and different. You know, like, I feel like that's why people keep telling their friends, other people watch it, because it's just so weird.
It's like an enjoyable popcorn movie. That's
why
I think.
Was fun.
Yeah, I think it wasn't supposed to be, like, I don't think anyone kind of went, especially after the critics flamed it, I don't think anyone went in with like a, with like any expectations, yeah. So, and because it was so awkward, which made it unique, and then, you know, because the critics didn't give it any kind of praise or anything, people went in with the mind of, okay, whatever, let's just watch it and see what happens. So I think that's what it was. And then compared to all the other characters you just said, it is kind of sad that it made more money than a movie with Batman, Superman, the whole Justice League. Like, it's just, it's hilarious that a movie like that, but it goes to
you,
doesn't it?
We're
not gonna get too into the other crap, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but you know,
I know you're roasting like the the Venom soundtrack at the end, but you got to give it some credit. You know, we listened to it on repeat, like, after that.
Actually, yo, right, so
first of all, never say we again.
No, yo, so Marola, why are you playing, though? We know 100%. We sat in my room. We blasted that music while playing 2K.
Venom. That was the ending of the movie.
It's actually lit. It's actually lit.
It's like a freaking movie, bro.
I don't know. The song is literally a representation of the movie.
Play the end scene. Play the end scene.
The movie is the song. The movie is the song. If you don't see it.
Yo, we were going to talk about how I made so much money. We kept roasting the movie.
Dude, the end scene is so good.
They ain't gonna know what hit him. They ain't gonna know what hit him. Lyrical genius.
Apologize.
That's the lyrics of the song.
Apologize.
That's some of the worst writing ever.
Apologize.
How is it so bad and so good?
Apologize.
Apologize.
No, apologize. Fine.
So what do we do now?
Go ahead, see Spear.
We can get what we want. Venom.
Low key, we still don't know what hit him.
I'm saying, I'm not sure. We don't know what hit him. It's true.
That's the whole point of the song. They ain't gonna know what hit him.
And we still don't know. Like, Venom, we don't know what hit us right now. That's the truth.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. The lyrical genius is just...
Listen.
I'm lost for words.
Venom is a complex cinematic masterpiece. And so is the song.
Dude, it's classically structured
cinema. You have to be an intellectual to understand.
Listen, it's classically structured cinema. Makes it one of the greatest movies of all time.
It's art house as AF.
I'm saying. That's it. Venom is better than Infinity War.
Is it art housey?
It's better than Infinity War. And it's better than Batman Superman.
Have I not been saying?
I'm saying.
I'm going to kill this fool.
It's going to be the new Q.
It's literally trash.
Engine guys.
I want to play it, right? So.
Eddie. We're losers. Like, no, it doesn't work.
No. I'm telling you, the best is like, he's like, oh, goodbye, Eddie. He's like, Venom, no. it's so dramatic.
It's so cliche. It's so dramatic. It's so unearned.
And then like, it's like a whole death scene, and he just appeared then later, you know?
Yeah, didn't even say how he came back. It's so weird.
I don't know if it's just a rumor or just something people made up after the film critically didn't do well, but. It did seem like it was a cut and paste job. Like it seemed like they might have made a different film.
Yeah, I thought it was
originally, and then they topped it up to kind of
They denied it, but I'm pretty sure it was gonna be rated R.
Yeah, it was gonna be rated R.
They cut out all like the serious or more darker themes and elements, and it obviously the final product was very choppy, and very.
Yeah, but that being said, I mean, I think we all said the same thing. Like we are roasting it, but we also kind of like it, you know, and it's actually one of the more unique movies. Like, let's be honest, it's better than Ant-Man, so I guess.
So true.
So on that level, I guess, you know, it's good for him. And we're going to see now, at this point, it's a guarantee that we're going to see more of this universe. It's actually, the universe is officially called the SUMC, the Sony Universe of Marvel Characters. That's the name of this universe. And... Yeah. It's not a great name, but yeah, I mean, that's what. But
the next film is Morbius.
Yes, we're gonna get a Morbius with Jared Leto. So now that he's obviously off of Joker, so he's gonna be doing this new role for the Sony universe. So I guess, you know, if it's gonna be like Venom,
which sucks, by the way.
It does.
I swear to God, I want to see more Joker.
Yeah, out of that guy. But you know, I think he can pull off Morbius. It's an interesting character, and then obviously we're gonna get a Venom too now. And we're gonna get
Carnage. Is obviously
Carnage. Cool. We're gonna.
What did you guys think of the post-credits scene?
I liked it. I mean, it was a little corny. It was a little on the nose. That way, like, you know, there will be carnage. Like, you have to make it very clear to audiences who he is, even though anyone who knows, like, the red hair,
yeah, it's pretty serial obvious.
Kids. I liked it too.
I liked it. It was good. Nice. It was funny.
That was nice. And plus, that actor's nice. He's going to do his thing.
Yeah, he will. He will. And I think, if you know, if they make the next movie more rated, or even they're never going to make it rated R now, because now they're seeing...
After the success of this.
They're seeing how much money Venom is making. They know that actual kids are actually going to see this movie. So, like, Venom isn't scary anymore. He's more kind of, like, likable and charming. Like... Honestly, yeah. One of the best characters in the movie was Venom. Like, not even Eddie Brock.
Tom Hardy did a great job.
And Tom Hardy did a good job, too, but...
Yeah. I mean, with the voice.
Yeah, with the voice of Venom, yeah. So he did a good job.
Now, he has some really good scenes.
He did.
Anything, yeah. Like, his acting is what made that movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was the best actor, yeah. I mean, the villain was a little poor, but it's all it is what it is.
It was a little cliche.
Hey, Ride only showed up for, like, 3 minutes.
I'm saying. But, you know, like, it could be good. I think there are some people who are scared that... Because this is doing so well now, Sony will feel like, why are we even lending Spider-Man to Disney? That let's take Spider-Man back. And they have the full power to do that. Like, I think as soon as the contract ends between Disney and Sony, which I think could be after Far From Home, then Sony might yank Spider-Man back. And then we'll see either Tom Holland in a different universe, or they'll cast another Spider-Man. Or even bring one back. They could bring Andrew back. But who knows? Like, we don't know. Like, the better the Sony universe does, they might feel like, you know what? We could use Spider-Man and do a better job. So we don't know what the future is going to be with the Spider-Man characters. Because Sony still owns all the Spider-Man villains plus Spider-Man himself. They're just lending Spider-Man to Disney to use. So we don't know what the future is going to be with that character.
Don't they get a cut?
They do. They still distribute the film, so it counts as a Sony film.
So
but
I don't think they're gonna. They could bring back. You could just have two Spider-Man. They could have. And I think Andrew Garfield would work in this kind of universe.
He would work
because he's. Like imagine him in a movie. Like we've seen him as Spider-Man already, so you could tell that he works within what they're trying to do.
And I would love to see.
Tom Holland really doesn't work in this universe.
That's true. And honestly, Andrew Garfield's acting capability is really good. And imagine Andrew Garfield with Tom Hardy in a movie. It could be... That's a very good pairing.
Yeah, that is.
So, it would be interesting to see that. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I guess we can do closing marks.
Any last thing we have to say?
Any last thing? So, yeah, I guess we can do our plugs right now. And... we're going to be trying some more stuff. The podcasts are going to be coming in more frequently. We're going to be doing some video essays coming soon. There's a lot more content on the way, not just from our team, but from the four of us specifically. And we want to be even more hands-on with the growth of Comic Book Debate. So you can definitely expect more reviews coming from Zion, Umar, and Samir, more articles coming from us. I have a video essay on the way as well. We're going to have more comic books. There's some reviews coming for Fantastic Beasts and for Creed by Umar and Samir, respectively. So
And we're planning some fun audience integrated.
Yeah, so we're going to have fun time with the audience coming this weekend. We're going to try to do a live Periscope on Twitter. So, again, you can follow us on Comic Book Debate. And our personal accounts, I'm Shiraz Faruqi, so at Shiraz Faruqi _. Then you have Zayan at Zayan Faruqi. You have Umar at Umar K Faruqi. And then you have Samir at _ Samir Hassan. So very easy to find us. We're going to keep giving you guys the latest stuff coming out. And what about you guys? Any last remarks? Anything last you want to say?
Aquaman in a month. I'm super excited for that. Pissed that all these other countries are getting it first. I don't understand why they can't just do a worldwide release, but whatever.
Yeah, China's getting it literally in like two weeks.
Gotta try to avoid the spoilers, but I'm definitely excited for that.
I think everyone here in this four of us are gonna say Aquaman. So
yeah, Aquaman. I mean, after what Jason told us privately, you know, at Comic-Con about it. Definitely upped the excitement that even like let's say for those people who are watching the trailers and saying that oh. This might be a little too campy or whatever the case might be, whatever your personal flavor is. Jason did tell us that, you know, the trailers are not showing what the movie really is and it has a lot more heart. Obviously, the trailers,
among other things.
So you guys are going to be excited to see it when it comes out. And definitely so are we. We can't wait to see the final product as well. Samir, anything?
I think that's pretty much it.
All right, so there you go. So thanks, guys. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, this is the Faruqi Bros. We're going to see you next time. Peace out. Wait to hit him with the snare and the bass square in the face. This is my better prepare to get laced because they're gonna taste my rhythm. I got that adrenaline momentum, get 'em, not going with 'em. Never gonna slow up in 'em. Ready to snap any momentum, taking his time to go get 'em.